Brad just whispered, could you sing that if you wasn't saved? It's a joy to know that heaven's a real place, and I want you to continue to pray for Angie and the children and keep them in your prayers. I know you do. You love them. And thank God. Amen. I thank the Lord for that this morning. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. And then also, I'd like for you to turn, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 1. And if you in the Bible study here in the auditorium this morning, Brother Barry, he told us he's going to deal with Zacharias, and he went right on past Zacharias and going a little further. And I said, Brother Barry, whoa. And because I knew where he was going, but what a blessing. I hope you'll make plans. Now, Barry's preaching next Sunday over at Cornerstone, and but we have a great Bible study in here next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So you come, and then Brother Barry picked back up with his Characters of Christmas after that. And so you be here in those services in the morning hour. You'll enjoy it. It'll be a blessing. It's a real blessing from heaven. So I hope you'll be here. Thank you again for all our friends in the internet audience. And we send greetings to all our friends in other areas who are watching us today. And thank you for being part of the services here. Thank you again, Ms. Angie and choir, for wonderful singing this morning, congregation as well. It's a joy to be here. Do want to remind you real quick, so I won't forget it right at the end. Tonight, 5 o'clock, we start service tonight at 5 o'clock. Our Ladies Circle Christmas program is going to be in here tonight. And they've got a wonderful lineup of music and blessings for you. And it starts at 5. And then afterwards, you'll have a chance to go out with your family somewhere to eat. But you come and be here tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll also have the children to come up, and I'll read the Christmas story. And the Ladies Circle always has gifts for the children. So I hope that you'll take time to do that. I want to read to you these two passages of Scriptures, and you'll note them, of course, and remember what God's going to say to us this morning. Luke chapter number 1, first of all, I want to begin reading here this passage of Scripture and this wonderful account of our Lord Jesus Christ and how that God has sent His Son. I want to read just one verse here in this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now turn back over, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. And we want to read a few verses here together. And look at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was mindful to put away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that heaven's a very real place. And our Father, what Christmas is all about is Jesus coming that we might not be able only to live in this world and have what you said, abundant life, but that we get to have everlasting life and live in a place called heaven where there's no sickness or sorrow or pain. And God, the joyful message is that there's a Savior born in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God help me this morning, not by words of men's wisdom, but by the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. God, we did read this morning that you chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And God, I pray, God, for every man and woman, boy and girl in this building, and all those who listen to us by the means of the media audience, that God, if there's a man or a woman or a boy or girl anywhere that hears the Word of God that's not saved, I pray, God, that you'd save them for Jesus' sake. Our Father, I'm blessed and honored to be here, and I bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me. But God, I need your touch. I need your anointing. I pray, God, you'd speak through me this morning. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just about everybody in here have got a name. You may have unusual names. You may have nicknames. I've known of people who had unique nicknames. I won't go into all of that. But you have a name. My name is William Clay Cashwell. My daddy's name was Henry Clay Cashwell. And so I know the Clay came from my daddy. I don't know where the William came from. But you all have names. And your family, somebody chose that name for you. And as I began to think about Christmas and God began to deal with my heart, I got to thinking about a holy God who has omniscience. He has all and knows everything. Sometimes expectant parents get one of those books of baby names and they'll thumb through there, or they get to talking about naming it after Aunt Susie or Uncle Joe or whoever, and they go through all of these names. Regina and I started off putting the same letters. Our daughter who's now in heaven was Christina Carroll, and then Melissa Michelle, and then Charles Christopher. And then we waited 10 years, and by that time, we just said William Avery and Rebecca Lynn. We forgot doing the numbers. We forgot that. But the thing is, you all have names, and they have some significance. Now, you may not know what it was, but when your mom and dad chose your name, there was a reason they chose your name. I want to preach to you for a few minutes on why they named him Jesus. You think about an omniscient God who has just unlimited, infinite knowledge, and He could have chosen any name. As a matter of fact, I did a little research. Did you know that there are 12 people in the Bible, not five, not six, there's 12 people in the Bible that God Himself named. You say, I wonder if you could do that. That'd be a good bus trivia, wouldn't it? Go down, name all the people in the Bible that God Himself named. Well, I'll save you a little time. The first one's pretty obvious. Adam. God named him Adam. And there's a reason He named him Adam, because He formed him out of the dust of the earth, breathed in His nostrils, breath of life. And Adam means red. It has to do with red. He's the first redneck. Adam means red. It has to do with the earth. It has to do with the earth. And then you remember Abraham. His name was Abram. He was living in an idolatrous land, and God called him. He became the father of all the Jewish nation, and his name was Abram. But in Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 5, God changes His name to Abraham. And He says, Abraham, you look at the stars of heaven, look at the sand of the sea, so be all those that descend from you. And so Abraham means the father of nations. His name is significant. God named Abraham Himself, because he was going to be the father of many nations. And then, of course, his wife's name was Sarah. And we've been studying this morning about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Well, Abraham and Sarah the same way. Sarai was her first name, and they didn't have any children. But God blessed them that they could have a son. And so God, when the promise came that she was going to have a child, she laughed inside her tent. She laughed at that. But God changed her name from being Sarai to being Sarah, which means a princess. She became a princess when God graced her with that child. They had a child. His name was Isaac. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, God gave that boy a name before he was ever born. Know what He named him? Laughter. Because she laughed, and He named him Isaac, because it means laughter, to remind her that she doubted or questioned God, and she laughed inside her tent. So God had her name that boy Isaac. Then you remember Jacob in the Bible? Jacob means supplanter, it means a deceiver. But God, he had an encounter with God in Genesis chapter 16, verse 11, and God did a special work in his life. And God saved him, changed him, and he became a prince of God. So Jacob now becomes Israel. Jacob, Israel. Then there's Isaiah had a son, and his name was Mashahabash. That's a long name. But God gave him a name, Isaiah, that great prophet of God. And that great prophet of God was given a son. And it meant that he said this child will, before he's old enough to know really his mom and dad, the Assyrians are going to come and take the northern kingdom into captivity. I've just got through preaching through the book of Hosea. And in Hosea, Hosea has three children. And God names all of them. Jezreel means to scatter. And then Loruhamah means that no more mercy, no more mercy. And then the last child that was born was called Lo-Ami. And it means that you're not my people. Oh, sad names. But then when you come to the New Testament, Brother Barry's dealing with that, and he's going to pick up and deal with it more. There's a one that God named. He prophesied him in the Old Testament, woman who's going to be a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his name is John. He's the one who'd go before the Lord. And he gave him supernaturally to Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were past childbearing age, and God miraculously allowed her to conceive and bore a son. And John means grace or gracious. And so grace came along. And it was grace that pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And that's the way with us. Grace always leads us to Jesus. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not thyself, it's a gift of God." And so God, John means gracious. And grace pointed people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the grace of God that leads us to repentance. It's the grace of God that leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we come to that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. And why did he name him Jesus? Of all the other 11 that he named, why did he name him Jesus? You know, he has a lot of wonderful names. Last week on Wednesday evening, I spoke on one of those in Isaiah. He's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. All those things. He's the bright morning star. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Bread of Life. He has so many names. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the Son of Man that came clothed in human flesh to identify with man, suffer and bleed and die for them. He is faithful in the book of Revelation. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the book of Revelation. He's got so many names. But he said to Joseph and to Mary, "You name him Jesus." You don't have to be a Greek scholar to know why he named him Jesus. Of all the names of the Lord, they're all these that I just mentioned to you. He's prophet, he's priest, he's king, he's mighty God, everlasting Father. But the sweetest name is Jesus. Oh, listen, it's that name Jesus is what makes the joy bells ring in heaven. That name Jesus is what calls those seraphims to cover their face and take their wings and fly across heaven crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, thou art holy." Jesus, that name is something about that name. And he gave him that name. But you don't, there again, you don't have to be a Greek scholar. You don't even have to Google, because it's right here in the book of Matthew. Why did he name him Jesus? He said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." You see, Jesus means Savior, Savior. He was a holy God in heaven who looks down upon sinful man, sees all the corruption of sin and all that's going on, the brokenness of homes and lives, devastation of sin, lives being ruined, children aborted, murder, rape, theft, everything you imagine, wars, everything else. What do they need? Do they need a better education? Do they need a better health program? They need a better welfare? No, what do they need? What's the root cause of all of the troubles of this world? Every nation, color, kindred, tribe. What's caused the problem in this world? What causes it? Sin. Sin into the world and death by sin. My dear friend, and God in his eternal wisdom said they need more than they need an educator, more than they need a healer, more than they need a philosopher. They must have a Savior. And he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save their people, his people, from their sin." He came to do one thing, to give his life a ransom, to suffer and bleed and die, that you and I might have life. As you go through the Word of God, you'll find the wonderful things about the Word of God. But that name Jesus is so blessed to me, blessed to you if you know Christ. There's just something about that name. It's kind of like a song in one word, Jesus. Jesus, there's something about that name. That name of Jesus, my friend, is the basis of so many of our hymns. And all of our belief is in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go through the Word of God and look at that name, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about disciples and all the things they would suffer for His name's sake. You see, people don't care if you name God, if you talk about God, God, but it's Jesus where their persecution comes in at. Because of that name, Jesus, Savior, man doesn't want to be reminded that he's a sinner, that he needs to be saved. And so, but Jesus Christ, that name, they suffered because of the name of Jesus, because they believed in Jesus Christ, they would suffer things and have to go through all kind of things. And when he called Paul, he said to Paul in chapter number 9, verse 16 of the book of Acts, he said, "I'll show you what things you must suffer for my name's sake." Because of that name, for me and you, it is a blessing. For me and you, it's salvation. For me and you, it's to know that heaven's our home. But to the Jews, again, it's a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, it's foolishness. And because of that, they hate that name. They hate the name of Jesus more than anything else. The Gentiles in Matthew chapter 12, he says, it be in that name that the Gentiles come to trust. That's how Gentiles who are alienated strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, that's how they get to go to heaven. That's how we get to go to heaven. It's through that name of Jesus. We're made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become part of the household of faith through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, something about that name. This wonderful name, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. His name is Jesus. In the Word of God, it says that we gather, Matthew 18, verse 20, we gather in his name. It's that name of Jesus that we gather together to worship in, because his name has redeemed us out of a world. He saved us, he said, out of the world. He didn't take us out of the world, but he saved us out of the world, gave us everlasting life. And therefore, we gather, when we gather the worship in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 9, verse 31, it said they did their miracles in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord. I had a preacher friend who's now in heaven. He was a missionary in Haiti, and he had experiences with real demonic activity. I mean, he saw things that you've never even seen on television, and he testified about what horrible things he saw. And on one occasion, his dog was just having a fit, and there was just an awful thing. He went out in the backyard, and he saw a demon, really, Billy, in a physical type form. He said, I was scared to death. And he said, I didn't know anything else to do. And he said, I was just frozen. And all of a sudden, I said, Jesus is Lord. And he said, I saw him cower down. And I said, Jesus is Lord. And he took a step backwards. And I said, Jesus is Lord. And he turned and ran back into the bush. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. And there's something about that name. Thank God for that name, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. He's Lord. Listen, he said in John 14, if you ask anything, ask the Father anything in my name, I'll do it. It's our access to prayer, that name of Jesus. And we can't go in by ourselves. We can't go in with just us. But we can go through the rent veil of his flesh. And we come in and ask petition in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every prayer you got answered, every time God's ever answered a prayer, he did it because of the name of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every request came through him and by him. And he said, my God's able to supply all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's in that name, Jesus, that you've had every meal you've ever eaten, everything you've ever swallowed, you've ever swallowed, every clothing you've ever had, every vehicle you've ever had, anything you've ever had in this world came because of that name, the Lord Jesus Christ. They named him Jesus. Oh, listen, you go through the Word of God and book of Acts. They were saved, chapter 3, verse 16 of Acts, through faith in his name. Now, I want you to turn your Bible just quickly, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Why did they call him Jesus? Why did God name his son Jesus? I'll tell you why. He said this, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What name is that? It's the name Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men. Under heaven means in every continent, among every people group, regardless of who they are. The only way anybody can ever go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He came to die for us and to give everlasting life. You only have one hope of heaven, it's Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Why did they name him Jesus? Because he's a Savior. He's the only Savior. He is the sufficient Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. You say, Brother Billy, you don't know all that I've done. No, but He did. He knows everything you've ever done, every thought, every action, every sin. And He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life that you might be saved. He came. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. I want you to notice His identification with us. He said, He shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. I love that. I'm glad I'm His. Are you glad you're here? Say amen. His. I'm His. There's something precious about that. There's something secure about that. There's something wonderful about that. I'm His. He loved me so much, He paid the sin debt. He bought me with His own blood. I'm not my own, the Bible said. He bought me body, soul, and spirit. I'm His. In that wonderful book, the Song of Solomon, I love to preach from, she starts off saying, He is my beloved. He is my beloved. He is my beloved. But before it's over, she said, I am His. I'm His. It's something to know that we're His, that He loved us and He bought us. He sought us when nobody else saw anything in us. Mom and Dad, nobody else, the whole world threw us away. They cared nothing for us, but He identified with us, His people. You're His. We are the sheep of His pasture, the Bible said. You're His. Oh, His identification with us. But I want you to notice this. Notice His complete salvation. He shall save His people from the sin. He shall. Sometimes I misspeak and sometimes others misspeak by saying God is trying to do something. Can I tell you, God not trying to do anything? His is yea and amen. He said, I've spoken it. It'll come to pass. He shall save His people. Can I tell you, that's a definitive act. It is an act of destiny. It is an act of eternity. I shall save my people. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He shall save His people. Oh, He identified with us. But His promise is this, I shall. Who can He save? Save anybody. He'll save anybody. And if you come, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Not maybe, not hope so, but know so. These things that are written, you might know that ye have eternal life and that you might believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved. He shall save you. Listen, His name is Jesus. It's all about sin. It's all about the Savior. He called His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Notice that statement. Not only His identification and not only the effectiveness and of the shall, but notice from sin. He does not save anybody in their sin. When He saves you from your sin. If you've had some sort of emotional experience, a profession of faith that did not change you radically, that did not take you away from your sin, you have a sin nature. And it can battle, it will rage inside of you, but it can never again dominate you. It can never again possess you. It can never again hold you and own you because you've trusted Christ. He delivers you from the power of sin. He breaks that bondage, that yoke. And if you've ever trusted Christ, He's delivered you from your sin, from the penalty of sin. There's therefore no condemnation of them which in Christ Jesus. Never again to have to come into question and answer about our eternal destiny because of our sin. Well, because when He saved us, He forgave us of our sin, past, present, and future. When God saves you, He saves you completely. He shall save you from your sin, from the power of it and from the penalty of it, but also from the pollution of it. I'm glad that He can save us and keep us pure. We can live for God and walk with Him. Because His blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. They named Him Jesus because He was the Savior of all the things that He is, wonderful counselor, mighty God, a great teacher, healer, all those things. But God said, call His name Jesus. Because more than anything in this world, men and women, boys and girls must be saved. They've got to know Jesus. They've got to be born again by the grace of God. They've got to come to know Him. When He comes in, Satan is bound. When He comes in, sin is broken. When He comes in, that old nature is put in subjection through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. He shall save His people from their sins. And thank God for that. I don't know where you got your name at, but I can tell you something that's unique about every person here who's ever been saved. I want you to turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. You say, Brother Billy, what about this name? In the book of Revelation, and chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse number 17, there's a wonderful statement in here about this passage of Scripture. And he's talking about the church at Pergamos, and he says this to them. And he said, for those of you who know Christ, you've been born again by the grace of God, he said that I will give you, I'll give you this white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that received it. Did you know, I've been Billy all these years, and when I get to heaven, I'll know people and they'll know me. But according to the Word of God, for everybody who gets saved, God's got a new name for you. He changed Abram to Abraham. He changed Sarai to Sarah. He changed Jacob to Israel. Oh, listen, all of those wonderful passages of Scriptures, when they met God, it changed them. I don't know what my new name is. You don't know what your new name is. But if you know Him, you've got a new name. There's an old hymn, a gospel song that people used to sing that I like. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Listen, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. What is Christmas all about? It's all about Him coming, that you might know the joyous message, the joyous message. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Greatest Christmas gift you could ever have is to receive that unspeakable gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you have that gift this morning? Have you received Him as your Savior and Lord? Jesus, there's something about that name. You can approach the throne of grace boldly through the name of Jesus. You get your needs met through the name of Jesus. You get your prayers answered through the name of Jesus. We meet to worship in the name of Jesus. But the only way in the world that you can enter into any of those things is when you know Him as Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? They named Him Jesus. Because of all the wonderful things He is, and He's perfect everything, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but He's Jesus. He identified with us. He came to give His life a ransom, and there's something wonderful about that name. Can I ask you a question? How many of you in this building can say, Brother Billy, there was a time when I was convicted of the Holy Ghost of God, I knew I was lost, and I cried out to one person. I cried to Jesus, and I received Jesus. I turned from my sin and received Jesus. I know that I'm saved. The Son of God lives inside of me. Jesus lives inside of me. He came. He's the Savior. And He came to save, and He saved me from my sins. I know I'm saved. Hell's my home. Would you raise your hand this morning? What a wonderful thing to be able to testify to that. Now I'm excited about getting to heaven to see what my new name's going to be. I don't have any idea what it's going to be. But we have a new name written in heaven. Because you trusted Christ, you're His. His people. He's not ever going to let you go hungry, not ever let you fail. He'll be with you through every dark shadow, every valley, everything. You're His. He loved you and he bought you with his own blood. You're his people. Thank God for that. When everybody in the world turns against you, family may forsake you, friends forsake you, remember this, Jesus. You can reach heaven through that name. Heaven through Jesus. God, the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart this morning as we are beginning this Christmas season. Of all the things He's given you, we've just come through Thanksgiving. You may want to just slip around this altar and thank Him for Jesus. Thank Him for saving you. Ask Him to help you make Him known to others. But if you're here in the building or in the media audience, you've never trusted Christ, I'd like to pray for you this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ came, He suffered, He bled, He died, was buried, and rose again. He's alive right now. Call Him Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. That's His name, Jesus. Jesus. At the name of Jesus, Ephesians 1, He's given Him a name which is above every name. Philippians, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus.